Hey there, welcome to What's the Truth, and I'm so glad that you're here for this episode. Today, we're tackling line number 52, God is disappointed in me. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. Today's lie, God is disappointed in me, stems from my four-week Know Your Worth study. The study will be free. It's going to be available to you at the time of this recording. It's in December, but the study is actually going to release in January of 2021. Make sure you sign up below in the wait list. Get on the wait list, or if it's already January, make sure you head to the show notes, sign up, and get your four-week study. Now, this lie is something that so many times we are constantly being reminded that we're disappointments to other people, right? We don't live up to what somebody else thinks we should, or we're not doing all the things that we think we should be doing, and we just feel disappointed. Right? Living in this world is just full of disappointments. And it can seem as though you continue just to fail people and let people down. Maybe so much of your time is just being spent in this world trying to make other people see how good you are. And maybe that, you know, we do our work so that we can get those compliments and we can hear people say, like, I'm so proud of you. And wow, how do you even do all those things? And sometimes the words that we just didn't hear is, I'm so proud of you, right? But we do things and then we end up causing disappointment, or other people disappoint us based on maybe, you know, preconceived notion or expectations that we might have. According to Google, the definition of disappointment is sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. Now, I want us to think about expectations for just a moment. They can be subjective to each person. Expectations become imaginations in one's mind of how we think we should be or ought to be. I want you to think about expectations that you've placed on your children or your husband or your best friend. And these expectations that they should have texted or should have called or should have taken out the trash or whatever it is, right? These are our own expectations of somebody. This is something that we have personally created. So when somebody doesn't live up to this ideal image, right, or expectation that we have of them, we're probably going to feel disappointed. Now, I really want you to understand is that how we live in this world is not how God operates with heaven. God isn't making up scenarios of who you ought to be or should be. He already knows who you are, who you're becoming, and he loves you already. You don't have to work for his love. You don't have to strive for his love, right? He's not imagining you one way and then disappointed when we might follow our flesh, which is our lust. He's not imagining you one way and then disappointed when you might follow lust or lies or believe in limitations that we've given ourselves. I think it's important to note that God may grieve our choices, but he's never disappointed in you because he expected more of you. We get disappointed in other people because we expect more of them. But God is not sitting on his throne and going, wow, I'm so upset with her. I'm so disappointed. Why didn't she do all of these things? We will be held accountable for the things that we do, but he's not looking at everything that you don't do. He's not expecting you to be somebody that you're not. God knows the details of your life. He may grieve that distance between the lies that you believe about yourself and how he truly sees you through his son, but disappointment is something that he never expresses towards you because disappointment deals with expectations. Your sin, your mistake, it's not too much for God. He did not leave anything out when he sent his son to the cross. So whatever sin you think you're committing that is too much, it's too big, you know, you cannot forgive yourself, or you feel like, you know, you just need to punish yourself, guess what? He covered it. The cross is the finished word. So that means that your sin no longer separates you from God because he doesn't see your sin. He sees you through his son, Jesus. He does not see you through your sin. One of the most beautiful pictures of the Father's love toward us is realizing that we didn't have to do anything to receive our rightful place as an heir. It was nails that hung him on that cross, but it was love that kept him on that cross. When our knowledge of Jesus and what he did on that cross grows, our understanding of him and our worth begins to really settle into a solid, fertile ground that can grow, right? It's a ground that can stand firm in mistakes and understanding that repentance is needed and required. The solid ground that doesn't allow weeds to grow and overthrow or overtake it, right? Because those weeds are really just being lies or pain that can easily overtake our life. We have this whole new life in Christ. I often talk about our soul here. So many times it's just when our soul is well, we will be well. Your soul is the gateway. The soul connects you to your body and to your spirit. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And experiencing this new life in Christ and what Christ has to offer really begins with the renewing of our minds, which is a part of our soul, right? We hear that phrase a lot, renew your mind. I say it a lot, but it carries a lot of weight. So don't let phrases that you hear often become something that you actually become numb to. The phrases that we hear often actually carry a lot of weight and are so important and are very scripture, especially when it comes to renewing our minds. You know, renewing our minds is transforming our soul, which changes our brain. If we think of a pipe, right? Think of a pipe. I want you to picture a pipe. And in the middle of a pipe is a valve. On either side of the valve, you're going to have your spirit and you're going to have your body. Your soul is that valve. It turns on and it connects you to your body, or it shuts down and disconnects to your spirit. So your soul becomes this valve that opens up where the spirit can run in through into the body and affect our body, or we can shut the valve off. And that means that our soul, right, is no longer meditating, I guess you could say, in so many words, on God's word anymore. Our thoughts are not, we're not even thinking God thoughts. We're being led by our feelings. And what happens is when we ignore the word of God, we will reap corruption in our body and in our life. John 6:63 says, "It is the spirit who gives life and the flesh profits nothing." Your new life, your new spirit, left behind a soul that is not new, but can become transformed. It's pliable. That means it molds to whatever you believe to be true and operates according to what you think is true about you and God. Your body has been purchased but not yet redeemed. So the rest of your life will be spent renewing your mind and conforming to the image of God. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." When we think of what happened after the cross is understanding that our works, our performance, they don't play a part in what God has already done for you. I think many of us as believers still think that God can do anything, but we experience very little of his power in our life. Whether or not you experience God's power is not determined by how good you can be. A lot of times we think, well, if I'm just good enough, then I'll be able to experience God's presence. Your focus should not be on what you think you need to do, but what God has already done. And again, this all goes into, is God disappointed in me? Or I should say, the lie that God is disappointed in you. To unwrap this lie is to unwrap what happened on the cross, after the cross, and what his word truly says about you, and identifying, is what I'm believing the world's view of disappointment? Or am I viewing this through what God says about love, grace, and mercy? Knowing what God has already done is where knowing our worth in Christ will really have one of the greatest impacts on our life. I talk with so many women every single day where they really struggle with walking out their worth in Christ and knowing who they are. We often look at other people and we go, I believe that God did it for her, but I don't believe he's going to do it for me because you know what? I messed up too many times. our sin is just, it's too close to us. We know too much about ourselves, so we put ourselves in a place of punishment. Knowing God is not disappointed in you sets you free from the bondage of thinking that you have to work your way into proving you are worth everything He has for you. It sets you free. It sets you free from thinking you have to work in order to live up to what He has for you. Let this be your know your worth reminder that God may grieve our choices, but is never disappointed in you because He expected more of you. There is no work you can do or not do that would lead Him in the opposite direction of you. I want you to think about that. That there is no work that you can do or not do that will lead Him in the opposite direction of you. He's always pursuing you. God's love for you is not on trial in this world. Your love for Him is. When the enemy comes in, when our lusts and our sin lead us in another direction, the accuser comes with his accusations, doesn't he? He'll say things like, God's disappointed in you. You better give up because there's no point. You can't change. Why are you trying? Right? I mean, how many of us can raise our hands with those accusations when the enemy comes in, when we don't do something that we thought we should have? Your worth will never, ever be in whether you feel it or not. You don't have to feel it to believe it. Don't chase a feeling. Chase God. He said you were worth it from the beginning of time. Okay, now I'm going to read a few of the study questions or the discussion questions that you can take, again, whether you're by yourself or if you're doing this in a group with other women. I'm going to read you a few, but make sure you head to the show notes, get your Know Your Worth study so you can go through these questions yourself. What moments can you recall where you felt the feeling that God was disappointed in you? I want you to think about, why did you feel that way? Now that you have come through it, what lies did the enemy try to convince you of in those moments? I think sometimes we have to remember just how much God actually carries us through and delivers us from. So for us to be able to go back and go, what were those moments that I felt like God was disappointed in me? Why did I feel that way? And thinking now of where you are and that you're on the other side of it, think about those lies that came for you, because you know what? That is preparation. That means now you know the tactics of the enemy. Now you know what thoughts are going to try to come your way and derail you. Here's a few more questions. Do you find yourself partnering more with your spirit or with your body? Because the soul's always in the middle, right? So which way is that valve opening? Is it opening towards your spirit so that I can run right into your body? Or is that valve shut off from God's word and God's truth? And are we living in, I don't want to say death and destruction because it sounds so heavy, but I mean, scripture tells us that when we go after the lusts of our flesh, that is what we will reap. Another question, what part do you need more accountability or help in? Again, these questions, there's a lot more questions for you to go over or to discuss. So make sure you head to the show notes, get your study. And I just pray that this is continuing to encourage you, continuing to bless you. And more than anything, reminding you who you are in God without any of the world's opinions of you. I want you to separate the kingdom and the world. And I know it's so hard because we live in this world, but we're not called to live by the world. We actually get to live from heaven. We get to bring heaven to earth. So I want you to take what the world throws at us, filter that through God's word. God is not disappointed in you because He expected more of you. He's not. It's a lie. And that lie will keep you feeling as though you'll never amount to anything, right? Or it will make you feel like you have to constantly work and strive and do all the things just so that you can feel God or that you can believe that He finally loves you. It's a lie from hell. Be sure to come hang out with me on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle. I'd love to know how this series is encouraging your heart, or if this is your first time here, I just love to hear from you of how I can help, pray for you, or answer any questions. Until next time, speak life and speak hope. Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough? If so, then my book, Know Your Worth, is for you. It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, relationships, or finances. You will discover gems to apply to your own life as I take you through my journey of how I was able to overcome pain by realizing my worth wasn't tied into things or people, but God. In my book, Know Your Worth, I will show you how to stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain, how to refuse to settle for anything less than God's best for your life, and how to recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future. Go to jessicahoddle.com/books to get a copy of Know Your Worth today.